Resurrection story is our best story, isn't it? It's our best story because in spite of all the attempts to defeat him, Jesus turns out to have power over everything, including death. Right? One of the things that I love on rereading the resurrection part of the story is that the story that our actors love about that part of the story is that even on Easter Sunday morning, there are people who are trying to use whatever power they have to still defeat Jesus, and it looks ridiculous. For example, I need a few props. For example, we've got the soldiers, right? And the soldiers should have been the ones that had the power when they were right in front of the tomb, right? They had military training, probably had weapons. They had the power to hurt anybody who didn't do what they wanted them to do. They should have been the ones that were in control. But they weren't. I wish I had a priestly robe, but I don't, so we're going to have to make this do. This'll do. The chief priests should have had the power in the story. They were the ones that were the political leaders at that time and at that place. And because they were the leaders, they had the power to tell people to do what they wanted them to do. They should have been the ones to be able to stop this story. But they didn't. And, you know, even if the priest's political power wasn't enough, they had another powerful thing at their disposal, and that is they had a lot of money. And if you remember in the story, those priests used their money to pay those soldiers this huge bribe so that the soldiers would lie about what they'd seen at the tomb. In our world, people who have enough money to pay somebody else to do something have power. And they should have had power over the story because of their money. But they didn't. In our world, too often things go horribly wrong because somebody, sometimes even me, sometimes even you, things go horribly wrong because somebody uses their power. Maybe it's their power to beat somebody up. Maybe it's the power of the authority of their position. Maybe it's the power of their money. Or maybe it's something else that gives them power. They use their power. They misuse their power. And they mess things up. And evil seems to be winning. I call those times when evil seems to have won Good Friday moments. I had a Good Friday moment this week. I think maybe some of the rest of you had a Good Friday moment this week as well. On Thursday afternoon, a little bit after 2 o'clock, I was walking up towards the meeting house, walking down Pratt, and as I was getting closer to the meeting house, I started to hear police cars pulling in and an ambulance pulling up. And by the time I got to the corner of Pratt and Ashland, the police were tying off their yellow tape right up outside the meeting house here. That yellow tape that makes you know that something bad has happened. And as I got closer, I could see that not only were they tying off their yellow tape, they were using their red tape, which makes you know that something really bad has happened. And I heard a lady, and she was crying so loud in anguish, I heard her a block away. And the neighbors were gathering here in the corner, and they were all trying to talk to each other about what had happened, and it turned out that somebody had been shot. It was a Good Friday moment. Actually, as my son Liam put it, it wasn't that somebody had been shot. It was that somebody had been shot again. Again. Again on this corner, there were ambulances and squad cars and paramedics surrounding a victim. Again, our corner had been caught up in the cycle of violence that seems to have the power over all human race. It was a Good Friday moment, and I felt afraid. I wasn't so much afraid for my physical safety. By the time I got here, that danger had passed. I was afraid of what that shooting was doing inside of my spirit. And I was afraid for what that shooting was doing inside my kid's spirit. And our spirits. And the spirits of Rogers Park. That when we witnessed that shooting again, we would realize our powerlessness and we'd be resigned to the violence. That we would give up, like most of those disciples did on Good Friday when Jesus was gone from them. And that we would be stuck in the Good Friday part of the story. I was afraid. But today is not Good Friday, friends. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Today is the day that the angel said to the brave Marys, "Do not be afraid." Today is the day that Jesus said to the brave Marys, "Do not be afraid." In the first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 28, which our fabulous acting troupe just acted out for you, Matthew uses the word fear 4 times. First, there's that violent earthquake that shakes the ground so much, and then the angel appears that looks like lightning, and he's so terrifying that the guards pass out on the ground because they're so terrified. And then there's those brave women disciples who must have also looked a little bit green when they saw the lightning angel, because the first words out of the lightning angel's mouth are, "Do not be afraid." The angel tells them, "Do not be afraid, because I know why you're here. And the one that you have come to see, Jesus, has risen just like he said. Go check out the empty tomb, and then, sisters, go and tell what you have seen." So when the women see the empty tomb, Matthew says that they are rejoicing, but they're afraid. And then they meet Jesus. And Jesus tells the women pretty much the same thing as the angel did. "Do not be afraid. Go and tell what you've seen." Sisters and brothers, that is my prayer for us today. Do not be afraid. Go and tell what you've seen. Something funny happened to me this week, this little incident that has convicted to me in a new way to live as though it is Resurrection Sunday and not Good Friday. That convicted me again to live like the brave Marys, to not be afraid and to tell what I have witnessed. Started out about a couple of nights ago. We got a phone call from one of my friends from college, Pastor Kwesi Kamau. He's a pastor down in Texas now. We don't talk all that often, but the last time we talked was last summer. And when we talk, we always like to share notes about church because we're both pastors of churches. Anyway, Pastor Kwesi called me up out of the blue to say that he was praying for us. And it was encouraging to know that this friend, particularly this friend, was praying. But I probably wouldn't have really thought all that much about it until Friday. I get to church and this card has come in the mail. And this card is from pastor of Lombard Mennonite Church, Todd Friesen. It's a beautiful card. It's got a picture of the resurrected Lord Jesus, this big statue, this famous statue in Rio de Janeiro, looking over the city. And it's always been this image of the power of Jesus over the city. So it's a beautiful image. And in the card, Pastor Todd Friesen says to our church, "May it be an encouragement for you to know that God's grace has been more than sufficient for us and is often made perfect in our weakness." Second message from a pastor in a week saying, don't live in Good Friday, folks. It's Resurrection Sunday. Now, this was really encouraging to get a second card in the week, but honestly, I probably really wouldn't have thought all that much about it, and I certainly wouldn't have bothered to mention it to you. Except for then, Friday afternoon, the phone rings. It's Pastor Harry Riggs. Apparently, for those of you, many of you know Pastor Harry Riggs. He's the pastor that visited Living Water last June because he was candidating to be a pastor here at Living Water, and he was not ended up being called here. And I haven't talked to him since August. But apparently, starting last summer, every time Pastor Harry Riggs saw an Illinois license plate, he would pray for Living Water Community Church. And that started last summer, and he said he kept seeing plates, so he kept praying. And recently, he's been seeing this unusual number of Illinois license plates, so he's been feeling especially convicted to pray for us. And then he heard word about the shooting, and he felt like it was important to call to say, "Don't be discouraged, sisters and brothers. Don't let the enemy win. It's not Good Friday. It's Resurrection Sunday." So at this point, I have to admit, I was beginning to feel a little bit like those of you who have seen this, the books or the movies, the Harry Potter movies, you know, when Harry Potter, Professor Dumbledore is trying to get a message to Harry Potter, and he's afraid that the message isn't going to go through. And so he starts sending like thousands and thousands of letters to Harry's house, and it kind of overwhelms him. I only got three, but three was enough. All these messages from the pastors this week were basically the same message that the angel told the brave Marys, and the same message that the Jesus told the brave Marys. Don't be afraid. Tell what you've seen. You are my witnesses. Don't be afraid. In the resurrection story, all the human attempts at power, the physical force, the human leaders, the money, all of them were laughably powerless in the face of the true power, our Lord Jesus Christ. That power has been released into the universe, and we are a resurrection people. And so, brothers and sisters, that is our prayer today. Be a resurrection people. Do not be afraid. Go. Tell what you see. Amen.
That we have